So I had a hard time preparing this because I had so much I wanted to say. This morning I called my sister in North Jersey and I said, "How are you?" She said, "Well, we're all in the basement because our home in New Jersey is surrounded by 120-year-old oak trees, and people don't really want to be in an upstairs bedroom during the storm." This is a slide I made from last night. That's planet Earth. So if you don't think that these are small issues, look at the size of that storm off the coast of the east coast of the U.S. It's a perfect storm. We've got the typical weather coming from the west, a pretty strong front with the Gulf Stream tipping down to the south. We've got what feels like a northeastern is Arctic blast, and they're bringing a lot of cold air at the same time, partly catching the counter flow of the hurricane, and then we've got the hurricane itself coming up from the south. So in some ways, I think in the 20th and 21st century, we are confronting a perfect storm of economic, environmental, and social challenges. Bob very much at the social challenges, how we hit the environmental ones. And I think that what Paul did is he thought about the solutions that brought all of these together. And I didn't know Paul very well. I was on panels with him a few times. But I was at CDC for a few years when I got a call from the infectious disease folks. And I had funded Eric Shivian and Paul at the Climate Center at Harvard and MIT for a few years out of my center. And these people in infectious disease were really PO'd with me. Those people are overstating all the risks. They're extending the science far beyond where the data is telling us it is. And over again, I think this is a big theme here, is when you look at all these boxes, it looks like we've got something going on. In clinical medicine, you say, you know, I've got enough information, I can't keep waiting, I have to intervene. And I think in many ways, Paul was a doctor to the planet rather than simply waiting endlessly for the data to come together and to be proven. This is this morning. It's hard not to be obsessed with something of this magnitude. It's going up Delaware Bay and heading towards the city. And here is the report that Howie cited. This was not IPCC. It's actually the Global Climate Change Report from the multiple agencies of the U.S. government. And I want you to look at the bottom of that graph where it's showing excursions from the mean of temperature, the graphic that goes up hot when it's warm. It's pretty cover. It's a little fuzzy. And this came out last week. This is the addendum to the climate change impacts in the United States. And the curve looks different. The excursions have disappeared more recently, if you notice, and there are no red blocks at the right side there. And it's from the Cato Institute, and I love this. I mean, it sounds like something my fifth grader would do. From the Center of the Study of Science. Well, man, that must have real authority at the center. So I began to read it, and I wanted to find out what it is. They agree climate change is unequivocal. Maybe humans have something to do with it. It's occurred, it will occur, but it has little national significance. And we can deal with this. Climate change will affect water, we all know that. And crop and livestock will change. But sea level rises caused by global warming are easily adapted to. So last night I was reading the flood maps around New York City and looking about how they closed down all the major airports. They're worried about Dumbo and Brooklyn and other places actually being underwater, and we can easily adapt to this. And my family's partly from South Jersey, and they're talking about a sea level awash all over the Barrier Islands, right past Atlantic City and going inland. So maybe it's easily adapted to if you're living in Utah and very wealthy, but it's not very easily adapted to in many of our coastal areas. Species and ecosystems will change no matter what. Well, not that's true, except we human beings have now done away more species than the asteroid that hit during the when the dinosaurs were roaming. I mean, that's how many species have been hit by the Anthropocene change rather than the earlier one. And any policies we've put in place will have little effect on global temperature. And sadly, there's probably some truth to this that we're going to have to really focus on adaptation, but simply because we still tell our patient with cancer to stop smoking, and we have to go. But I had to pull out the Cato Institute report on human health. And the metaphor here is human health is somebody passing gas on a patient here, rather than really talking about human health. And they had a very erudite, Jan Cementi, you'll love this, discussion of when people die. And more people die of excess cold in the United States. These are pretty small numbers in their report. Rather than excess heat, 300 from excess heat versus 600 from excess cold. But you're going to love this next slide. This is their proof that heat won't kill us because more people die in the winter than in the summer. So the Center for Science is telling us how to deal with these issues. Why do I bring this up? Because all would have no use for this kind of obfuscation and confusing of people, and he was always able to cut to what are the real messages and what was really important. And the weather reported for 22 years, all these changes are not due to global warming, and I love this, climatologists, real climatologists, 97% of them believe that climate change is human-caused, but television weathercasters are about 50%. And I decided this is due to the fact that if you use a hair dryer, a blow dryer, it makes your brain sort of too hot, and you can't think clearly because there's clearly what's going on. And then the state of North Carolina, the state of Southern Carolina, South Carolina, has made the decision that climate change is illegal. And the planning agencies and the loan agencies and the mortgage agencies cannot differentially allow either building or loans or insurance in areas that are likely to be hit by climate change. And so they factor, they make climate change illegal. And I was thinking as a physician, Bob, we should move there and ask the legislature to make cancer illegal because it would really make our jobs much, much easier. Stephen Colbert is a South Carolinian, one of a great big family, and I love the fact that he was on his show, Colbert discussed North Carolina science panels, the sea level rises could go a meter by the end of the century, but Colbert says, we have no idea how much damage that could use because it's metric. Every talk I give, and Kathleen Carl was with me in San Luis Obispo a couple weeks ago, I asked, how many of you know what the Keeling curve is? And I would say, in a room with 500 people, two people will know. And I then say, no one should graduate high school, no one should graduate college without knowing what the Keeling curve is, why this is important. And to go from 300 parts per million in my lifetime to 400 parts per million, I feel old sometimes, but I have not lived geologic times. These are enormous changes in a rather short, incredibly short period of time. And what the scientists predict was things were going to get warmer. I was giving a talk in Nashville 2 weeks ago, and it was about built environment. I decided about 3 years ago I would never, ever give another talk in environmental health without talking about climate change. And so I put this slide in. And I said, here's Nashville. In 1990, Arbor Day said that it was in Zone 6. So the last time they put one out was in 2006, a mere 16 years later. It's now in Zone 7. So Nashville now has the weather of Atlanta, and Atlanta has the weather of North Florida in 16 years. And they're not trying to work with an agenda. They're just trying to tell you when to plant your trees, what you should be doing. This report, when it came out from the Weather Service, again, a bunch of nerdy scientists measuring what's going on out there, not trying to work a political agenda, looking at the 118 for 118 years the Weather Service has been working, the red states are the 118th hottest half year in recorded history, including Tennessee, as you can see. And the ones that aren't so hot are 117 and 115. It's hard to wish this one away. That chart ended in June, Here's the hottest month in recorded history in continental U.S., July 2012, with excursions as high as 8 degrees above average. I'll leave this one out, but this one is amazing to me. It is the 11th driest 9-month period in American history. So one of the most dramatic experiences of my children's lifetime is living in the East Bay during that horrific fire almost exactly this time of year in 1992, I think it was, which would be about 20 years ago. And it was one of these October days in the East Bay where it was like a hairdryer outside. And it's been like a hairdryer in the U.S. now with hot, dry, not enough moisture. It puts us at an enormous risk for putting lots more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, this time from enormous fires. Paul advised on Vice President Gore's film, Vice President Gore stopped in Greenland showing 2005. The quantities of water coming off now are equivalent. This is water that's been frozen for 100,000 years and is crystal pure. Is pouring off at enough that it supplies all of New York City, if equal amount, for a whole year in one day. See, the amounts of water that are melting there, and this is the first time in satellite history on July 12th that the entire top of Greenland turned to water. Never have they done a satellite photograph like this. This is the real graph of the number of hurricanes that have occurred over time. It's a little hard to say that weather changes have really parallel climate, but it looks like there's more red bars and more stuff going on more recently. We'll see. So the boring, dullest, richest people in the world, the Swiss reinsurance, Munich reinsurance, are sitting there going, this stuff is really important and we better pay attention to it. It's going to completely impact the bottom line of our reinsurance industries. Here's a bunch of radicals. We have Tony Zinni, the former commandant of the Marine Corps, very worried about the destabilizing influence on American security from climate change. These are very serious people. They're not overstating risks to make them go away. So here is the real report from the United States government that I reflected earlier, not from the Cato Institute. And I want to point out one thing, that right at the heart, right at the center, you know, State Department's there, Fish and Game, and EPA, and all the rest. Right at the heart is HHS, Health and Human Services. And I would assert that HHS, either at the national level and to an extent here in the state of California, they're nice folks, I love them, I work there, but I think a lot of them have been asleep at the switch and they don't really realize the train that is coming at us. And I think we need to be much more aggressive in the health world. As I say, this is the real report, and here are the key findings from the real experts, and I'm talking tens of thousands of experts, and how you probably contributed to this one. It's unequivocal, it's human-produced, these effects are going to grow. Water resources are going to be enormously stressed. Even Cato agreed with that. Risks to human health will increase. Paul can understand that perfectly, and coastal areas will be impacted. And we will cross thresholds. I think that, I used to think that in my son's lifetime, the ice cap in the Arctic would disappear entirely. I'm not sure how old I will live, but I'm beginning to think it could be in my lifetime. That's how fast this is moving. And future impacts depend on choices made today. This is California's website, and I put it in here for a reason on climate change. Partly because, you see that words down there, prevent and prepare? I like that better than mitigation and adaptation, because the average person can understand prevent and prepare a whole lot better than they can these other words. And yeah, we've got to prevent. We don't stop doing prevention simply because we are now getting ready for things. California Health Department has a climate change work group. Kathy Durbin and Neil Mazich done terrific work on this, but I would like to see genuine support for public health coming out of the funding that will happen with cap and trade. Under AB 32 of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Act, there will be an auction in a couple of weeks in California. They'll be selling off 22 million lots of cap and trade auction the bids, and the minimum bid is $10, but it could go to $50, which means suddenly somewhere between a half a billion and $5 billion. Damn it, public health needs to be there. And we need to put things in place to create healthier environments for people. And we've got to get the messages out. So when Howie says people listen to more to rock stars than they listen to scientists, or the dog only hears Ginger, we need to actually begin to think about how we convey our messages in the most muscular and powerful way. And we've got to build communities that are physically robust. I think getting rid of impervious surfaces, but everybody in North Jersey is probably looking for a school to go to. When I was a kid, the local school had a civil defense thing on it, and it was a robust building that could stand up, and you could walk to that building if you couldn't get any other way. Now we build schools and retreat zones that are impossible for people to get to. I looked at my slide of the typical network of houses built in Florida. You cannot evacuate in any reasonable amount of time because it's not built for the framework that works. This is a school in New Haven. They've been rehabbing downtown schools. Again, they didn't build it this way. They built it because they wanted kids to walk to school and have a neighborhood park. But then, I'm sure in the big storm, guess where old folks, guess where people that are disabled, guess where people who need to be taken care of are going to end up is in robust buildings. We got to build places of the heart. I'm going to skip these, I'm sorry. Interventions work. And for the people who weren't in California, when California confronted the gas shocks in 1973, we put in place laws that required better energy efficiency, better insulation, better refrigerators, better air conditioners, and look what happened to per capita energy consumption, electricity consumption, California versus the rest of the United States. California is the other line. We need to see this next one. The red states are the top line. The blue states is next to the bottom line, and California is the very bottom line. So what you believe and what your politics are and how you vote have huge impacts on where we go. You know, I'm going to stop at this point because I have gone on too long, but actually, a quick one. There were no built environment sessions at APHA before about 2003. Last year, there were 102 on land use and 182 on built environment. It's not quite as many. And on my wish list for how we can help our young people want to think about the synthesis, we've got to think of, and I'm not joking, we've got to think of some new laws. We've got to have a law that requires that every planning agency have a health person that can understand. We've got to require health agencies to have people that can understand and interact with planning, because that's the way we're going to create the jobs for the people in the future, because nothing will change unless we have leaders going forward. And that's where I'm going to just stop. One of my favorite quotes, and it's not the record kept over here, but this is a quote that I'd like to dedicate to Paul. Without courage, all other virtues are worthless. And I think it's time we in public health have got to show some courage and really stand up and demand that we create a healthier world and living places for our children and our grandchildren.